Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Danny Gregory is an author and illustrator whose work you may have seen in the New York Times or other publications. He's also author of several books, including An Illustrated Life and The Creative License. His newest is called A Kiss Before You Go, a memoir of love and loss. It's a collection of illustrations and text compiled from daily drawings Danny did in the year following the death of his wife, Patty. Danny, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about Patty, this woman you loved for almost 24 years.
Well, she was an incredibly sort of vivacious and chipper person. She had sort of an ability to make things seem brighter and more fun than they might actually have been. She was also a person who was a sort of a human magnet and drew all kinds of people to her. So every day she would come home and tell me that she had a new best friend that she'd met in the street. So she was really a fantastic person in so many ways.
So many people were drawn to her. And even after this accident, which left her a paraplegic in a wheelchair, she really lived her life to the fullest. Then 15 years after that accident, the police call you at work and tell you that there's been another accident. What happened?
Well, Patty was... our apartment is on the 8th floor of a building, and she was trying to reach a hose to water some plants. And she leaned out the window to try and grab this hose. And because of her paralysis, she didn't have the sort of muscles in her legs to hold her. And she slipped and fell out the window. And she was apparently killed more or less instantly when she hit the ground.
It's such a terribly, terribly sad story. And I know, you know, we all know the grief has a few rules, but I think it understands the grief of others. And people who've experienced loss all there have their own stories of shock and wondering how we'd get through. How do you, Danny, recall those early days?
You know, I think that I was sort of wrapped in some kind of a cocoon, I think. I think I didn't fully understand what had happened in some way. I felt also kind of compelled to get on with things. We have a son, Jack, who at the time was 15, and I just felt like it was really important to sort of establish that we were still okay in some way. And I think it took a while for grief to come and hit me in the giant waves that it can. So it was a constantly changing process.
And you kept up on what had become a daily practice for you, illustrating your life, doing, I guess, an illustration a day at least. Was that an immediate response for you, and what did it provide?
I think it began, I think there was probably a week or two where I didn't draw. But I think my journals always focus on just sort of my daily life, you know, drawing what I had for breakfast or... you know, drawing my dogs when we go for a walk, sort of small little things. And somehow drawing these things in these days after kind of kept me in touch with them, with the fact that there was still beauty in the things around me and that life was going on. I also started to draw a lot of the things that Patty had left behind, you know, her jewelry, the papers piled on her desk, that kind of thing. It was a way of sort of stopping and meditating on them. And again, capturing how I was feeling. I just had this general sense that this is obviously a very important event that I was going through, but I felt like I wanted to hold it and to own it. I didn't, you know, it was painful, but I also felt like it was really important and it needed to be captured somehow. I wasn't sure quite why.
Well, after living so long with this woman who was so magnetic and vivacious, was it difficult for you to live up to the kind of grace with which she met her own challenges? I mean, did you ever end up comparing yourself to that?
All the time. I mean, she provided so much in our lives that I never felt adequate to. You know, I worried that I would end up completely alone, that I would lose all the network that she had built up and all the people that she had brought into our lives. And also the sort of look on the brighter side aspect of things that she had brought to me. I thought, how am I going to sort of carry this on by myself? So I was definitely afraid of just drifting off and becoming sort of a hermit.
It strikes me that the book captures a year, and I'm thinking of fairly recent books by some literary widows. The Year of Magical Thinking, Joan Didion wrote, A Widow Story by Joyce Carol Oates, both of them about the loss of long-term partners. What do you think it is, Danny, about a year? What does that chunk of time give us?
I think it's a traditional period of grieving. You know, they told me from the beginning, they said it takes about a year to get through this. Certainly in certain religious traditions, like in Judaism, you know, that's when you grieve traditionally, and you then after a year you're supposed to stop. So there's something about going through all the cycles of the seasons that seem somehow part of it too. To go through another, to go through Christmas, to go through birthdays, and to live through the whole cycle seems part of the process somehow. Mm.
And to see her flowers that she'd planted come up and to see her garden sort of withering, it's so it's such a clear representation of loss.
It is. I mean, these bulbs that she had put in the ground and that had just started to come up when she died. And then a year later, when I just had neglected her garden terribly, I just wasn't able to keep up with it. And then suddenly in the spring, they started to come up again. And it was somehow, I mean, an obvious metaphor of, but a literal one of things, just life continuing.
We're talking with the author and illustrator Danny Gregory. He's written a new book. It's called, and illustrated a new book. It's called A Kiss Before You Go. It's a memoir of the year following the wife of his death, the death of his wife, Patty, a very beloved, very close, very interesting couple to me. But several of the illustrations in A Kiss Before You Go are of you. And one of the most poignant for me, anyway, is when you are saying goodbye to Patty. It's almost a perspective as if lying on a gurney where she must have been at the time. You are so sad and so sort of hardened in a way, or maybe trying to face the world, you know, with a stiff jaw. I don't know. But there are a number of different portraits of you. So how were you changing throughout this process?
You know, that particular drawing is in black and white.
Mm-hmm. It's one of a few.
Yeah. And it's funny, when in my journal, the more or less the year leading up to her death, I was drawing more or less always in black and white and in shades of gray. And somehow when she died, I transitioned to color, and I was doing everything in bright colors. But that particular drawing and the other drawings that I did of myself, I often felt like I drew myself like a sort of deer in the headlights sometimes, and other times I was a little tiny figure surrounded by the huge clutter of our apartment and all the life that we had. I felt like I was looking into myself all the time, mm-hmm. and I was trying to understand me as much as anything through this process. I felt like a different person and a stranger to myself a lot of the time.
That's the thing. I think you become a stranger to yourself. Life is not as imagined. I lost a younger brother now 11 years ago, and you know, the idea that there's an amputation or you have this kind of phantom limb that you can still feel, it's almost as if, like, you cannot imagine life without somebody. But then you learn that you can have one. And there's something so strange about that.
It's true. I mean, I felt like our lives were so intertwined that I couldn't imagine how it would be possible for me to carry on. I mean, our life was our life. And suddenly one part of it was you know, wasn't able to go on. And I think that's what this book is about, really, is about that process of these daily events, these little things, you know, shopping for groceries, cleaning my house, going through closets, all those small things, and realizing one by one that I can do each of these things. Mm. A lot of them were things that hadn't even been my responsibility necessarily, because Patty worked out of the house and I was at my office. So I was suddenly taking over all these different things. But I, you know, it was somehow being able to do each one of them one after the other over the course of the year that made it seem to me like, okay, I am still alive. I am still doing things. And she is part of every single one of them. You know, even though she's not here, her influence, her taste, her voice were all there in the little things I did. I carried on making lunch for my son every single morning before he went to school. And doing that, going to the supermarket and picking out, like, what would be the things that she would put into the lunchbox to surprise him? How do I keep that going? You know, I just wanted him to feel like her presence there throughout. And it just felt comforting to me as well.
And you and your son, there's a lovely little video. We have a link to it at wordofmouthradio.org that you made together of you having breakfast and drawing. So what has happened in your relationship? He obviously has gone through his own experience of grief. He lost his mother.
I know. I mean, he was also, as I said, he was 15 then. He's 18 now. And teenage boys are not known for being very open with their emotions and talking about how they feel in any case. But Jack has always been like a stoic kid. You know, he grew up with a mom in a wheelchair. He was 10 months old when she was injured. So he's always been slightly different from everybody else, but always very resilient and tough. But I was afraid that he would be too tough, that he would not be able to open up, and that he would sort of keep all these feelings inside of himself, and then they might take 10 or 15 years to come out, and then what would happen to him? So I was very worried about that. So I think for me, part of keeping this journal and doing this book was to show him what I was thinking, to share it, to say, you know, it's okay to feel this way. It's okay to not know how you feel. It's okay to feel like other people don't understand what you're going through. And I think we became best friends in a way we never had been before through the course of these years together, because we were suddenly equals in a way. I was no longer just his dad. I was his roommate and his best friend and his caterer and his launderer and so forth.
And that book, I think, provides similar things for us, connects to our grief. It's a way that we know we're not going through things alone.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody faces death at some point. You know, the death of a loved one, of a parent, of a sibling, of a friend. And it was an experience that I was completely unprepared for. You know, I really hadn't thought about it much, or if I did think about it, I would push it away. So I didn't know what it was going to be like. I'd heard about the stages of grief. I didn't fully know what they are. I'm not even sure that I really went through them in the way that one's supposed to. But I just didn't know what it would be like. I would have fantasies sometimes while Patty was still alive, what would it be like if she was suddenly gone? But it was really very different. And, you know, I think in the end, even though this was a horrible experience in a lot of ways, I found like I wanted to get some beauty out of it. I wanted it to be a positive and a learning experience and something that I could share. And I hope that that's what this book is in the end. It's not a grim, scary book. I hope that it's something that will help people and will show them, you know, to prepare them for what they might go through one day.
Danny Gregory, author, illustrator, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We're hearing the music from one of those video collaborations with his son Jack about breakfast. His newest work is A Kiss Before You Go, a memoir of love and loss. And you can learn more about it on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio. Or look at that video on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And we'll be back after a short break.